Join longtime local and social butterfly Michelle Dragony as she flits up and down the coastside on her intrepid cruiser Flame, chatting with coastal characters at every turn.
So today, the Coastal Butterfly begins a series of podcasts about health and wellness. A year ago, I was told I have the beginnings of macular degeneration in my eyes due to low carotenoid levels. I was like, what? Huh? What you talking about? I'm healthy. Yeah, well, I'm also getting older, too. At 54, my systems are breaking down and becoming less efficient, so it was quite possible that something is off. I also have had a systemic autoimmune inflammatory achy condition for 35 years, from which I got when I was hit by a drunk driver. I've learned to deal with that, more or less, with pretty good diet and exercise, but the carotenoid issue sort of set me into alert mode, like, maybe I should look into this a little bit more. And then I met naturopath Dr. Stephen Meenahan from Time Integrative Health in Pacifica. Dr. Stephen works in a collective with several wellness experts, including Half Moon Bay's local Dr. Lorraine Page, who has been my doctor since 1989 when we had a coastline clinic. So East meets West. I'm getting excited about how I might find some answers to both the carotenoid issue and also the achy condition. So a month ago, I had my first appointment with Dr. Stephen, where he recommended a cleanse. And down the rabbit hole, I dove. The idea of a cleanse is to take about 3 weeks and eliminate all but the least allergenic foods and take prescribed MediClear protein powder, which is boosted with that stuff that will detox your liver. Well, I'm a delicate flower, and I thought I'd warm up to everything by giving up a little bit at a time. And so I've run out of milk. I've got just a couple of pieces of cheese left. And I've run out of eggs and all my wheat products. And I've been reading, and I've developed a list of questions for Dr. Stephen, and he is going to answer them for us here today. And so, here we go. Coastal Butterfly and Dr. Stephen Meenahan. So, Dr. Stephen, let's start with what made you get into naturopathy?
Ooh, good question. I was lucky enough to go to a little career fair when I was, I think it was in middle school, and
like a personality test?
Yeah, it was basically like a personality test, uh-huh, right? Uh-huh. And they put that information into a computer, and then they generate 3 careers that they recommend for you. And because I grew up in Seattle, where naturopaths are much more popular than they are here in California, that was their primary recommendation. And long story short,
I became
a naturopath as a result. Huh. And in addition, fell in love with Chinese medicine along the way, and so I'm an acupuncturist as well.
Nice. And so what's the education path then for a naturopath?
Well, it's the standard pre-medical course in undergrad for most of us. They often accept, some arts kids as well.
An arts kid.
Obviously, I was an arts kid and a pre-med kid. I got a BA and a BS in undergrad. And then the grad school, the medical school is designed very much like conventional medical school. Where you're spending the first 2 years with basic medical sciences, mm-hmm, and then moving on to clinical sciences. Mm. And then I went to a school that had acupuncture that you could take in addition. So there's an additional 4-year program that they condense into 6 for people who want to do both.
Wow. So that's intense.
Yeah, it was very intensive.
Yeah, how cool. And so I am here exploring my own health, and last time we were here, you assigned a blood test, which I've taken, and you also prescribed a cleanse. Now, why do naturopaths prescribe cleanses, and what's the main goal?
Sure. So the liver is one of naturopaths' favorite organs to focus on. We care a lot about digestion and a lot about the liver, because these are, the digestive tract is how we're introducing things into our body, and so it's one of the easiest ways that we can affect our health outcomes. And the liver is the organ that has the responsibility of processing everything that we're putting inside. It also processes the things that our body makes. And when I say process, in this context, I mean, you know, detox. So eliminating from the body.
Like caffeine and alcohol.
Like caffeine and alcohol, but also pollutants that we're often exposed to, environmental pollution. So that's obviously, you know, in the last 50 years has been on the rise in Western countries. And, you know, no matter how clean you're living, you're going to be exposed to some of it. And then your body also is making making things that it needs to get rid of. Some of those are, you know, just the normal healthy hormones that we have to get rid of as well. We don't want those accumulating. Those hormones often show up in things that we're eating, though. It's one of the reasons that, you know, people do focus on meats that are hormone-free because their liver is going to be burdened by eliminating those. Not to mention it's going to have an effect on their own endocrine system. And then we also produce a host of what are called a host of inflammatory markers that the immune system makes, like cytokines. So those things have to be eliminated from the body as well. Inflammation is at the root of most chronic diseases. And so the way to address that for most naturopaths, and it's at least in part, to address the health of the liver and to aid in its ability to eliminate those inflammatory markers.
Why does the liver get backed up? Is there something about modern life that does it? Or is it something that's always happened to humans at, you know, certain ages, or combination of both?
It's due in part to, I would say, mostly to lifestyle and to environmental issues, you know, just living in the world. And then alcohol, a lot of our diets are not, they're junk food diets, or, you know, the liver is burdened with breaking down fat. Carbohydrates, if we have too much carbohydrates, the liver is responsible for either converting that into fat, which it stores throughout, is then stored throughout the body, but it can also be stored in the liver. You know, so-called fatty liver is on the rise in the United States, because fat is not just stored in our fat cells. It's unfortunately taken on by the liver, which slows it down.
And so by using the prescribed Mediclair powders, it's a pea-based protein, is that correct?
Right. So
what's all the stuff that's in it that helps?
Well, so it's rice and pea-based. And the reason that we use that is because those are two forms of protein that are least likely to be allergenic, so least likely for your immune system to have a problem with. They're not among the most bioavailable forms of protein, so eggs and whey are actually much more bioavailable, meaning that your body can absorb those more readily. Vegetable proteins in general are less absorbable, but these two in particular are less likely for your immune system to react to.
Right. And then do they represent the complete amino acid structure then?
Yeah, those two together do. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. Now, you started with a blood test. When you fill out the blood test form, what are you looking for when you're dealing with a patient who's going for a cleanse?
So I have a lot of patients who are experiencing hypercholesterolemia, so they have high total cholesterol, maybe high triglycerides, and they'll be using this cleanse in part to help bring down those numbers. Your liver is responsible for, in part, for producing the cholesterol that's in your blood. So anything we can do to optimize the health and function of the liver can sometimes impact how much cholesterol it produces. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you know, with this cleanse, we're recommending, we're giving you dietary recommendations that are going to lower the amount of cholesterol in your diet as well.
Right. One of the things that I've always been curious about with my my achy autoimmune is, am I eating something in my diet that's causing it? Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to go through the processes as I've eliminated things. I was a little intimidated by the whole process, so I started eliminating things sort of right after, or it's been about 3 weeks since I had my first appointment, so I pretty much got caffeine completely out of my system.
Ooh,
I was only two cups a day, but still, there's a cultural affect to caffeine. You know, you kind of, there's a routine that you have in the morning, and when you lose that, you kind of lose something else too.
Well, I often encourage people not to lose the routine, just to lose the caffeine.
That's a nice line. Try that, yeah.
Because yeah, there's a positive benefit to those rituals.
Now, why is caffeine looked as a toxin, though? I would have thought it's a dilator of, you know, your blood vessels, and as a diuretic, I would have thought that it'd be a useful tool in a cleanse. How come not?
So the liver, and this is definitely true in a Chinese medical perspective, so not a biomedical perspective, but it's affected by stress. And from a biomedical perspective, we see that cortisol, which is that stress hormone that the adrenals produce, can have a negative effect on the liver. If our cortisol levels are erratic, then that means our blood sugar is erratic, and then the liver has to, in part with other organs, has to handle that dysregulation of blood sugar. One of the ideas is to give the liver a rest from that angle.
Okay, then dairy. You told me at our last appointment that eggs were one of the leading allergens, and I eat 2 or 3 eggs every day, and I have done most of my life. And then you said that, you know, you had to get rid of dairy too, ideally, if you're going to do this. And I'm like, oh, I don't have that much dairy. I just have a chai in the morning. Well, turns out I have a chai in the morning. I have cheese at lunch and cheese at dinner.
Right.
That's sometimes I have eggs twice a day.
Right. And that is one of the things I love about a cleanse, is that it really helps you gain awareness about what your routines are, what your possible food addictions are.
Yes.
And I think that we all benefit from that, from living an examined life. So with dairy in particular, dairy and eggs, those both contain, unless you're getting them modified somehow, they contain animal fats, they contain cholesterol. To have issues, again, processing cholesterol, are going to benefit from limiting those in our diet. Yeah, the top 5 food allergies, and this is one of the reasons you see the health facts on the back of packages of food. You'll see that warning contains the list of most of these foods. And so that's dairy, eggs, wheat, soy. They'll often include nuts because people are much more likely to have an anaphylactic reaction to nuts. Corn and potatoes sort of vie for the 5th food sensitivity.
I was surprised at the soy. I went to, of course, buy foods at New Leaf, where they mm-hmm. would be pre-prepared for me and MediClear ready. And you can't have tomatoes. You'd be surprised how many foods have tomatoes and tofu in it. You
absolutely.
Know, they're either vegetarian or vegan, so... I actually am making my own rice, and New Leaf has these great, you know, new leafy potatoes that are very nice roasted, so I'm working it out.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also been doing a sauna.
Mm-hmm.
I started that too. I kind of thought that might help with the pre-cleansing effect. I mean, I keep hearing how people feel so crummy in the first week.
Right.
And I was figuring, well, maybe I'll spread the crumminess out over 3 or 4 weeks at a low rate of crumminess, so I don't have that, you know, I can't get out of bed on the third day kind of thing. I'm making cleansing sounding really But I think that's the intimidation that people do have for cleansing.
Absolutely.
But I think what you said about, I love that phrase, the examined life. I think that it's really important to slow down sometimes and just readdress everything about what you're doing to your body and
mm-hmm.
eating and stuff like that. So I'm really excited about it, even though I know it's going to be hard work. But, you know, everything that's worth something's worth a little effort, right?
That's right. That's right.
So, yes, sauna, I've been doing that.
So the liver is one of our primary organs of elimination. So is our bowels, that we should be getting rid of. Anything that the liver is getting rid of, it's actually putting in our bowels. So that's one reason to make sure that we're having good bowel movements when we're on the cleanse. If we get backed up at all, then you're just going to reabsorb what your liver is getting rid of. So that's important.
Good to know.
Yeah. And then the lungs, you know, we get rid of carbon dioxide that way. And then the kidneys. The skin is a what we call a secondary organ of elimination. It does get rid of toxins as well.
Mm-hmm.
Does that through the sweat. So a sauna gets, you know, takes advantage of that route of elimination.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm really enjoying it. I do 20 minutes every morning, and it's a really nice way to get your body warm for stretching.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in a passive way, because my muscle condition makes me stiff, and I think the older you get, the stiffer you get when you wake up in the morning. And it's not really a great thing to stretch when you're cold.
Agreed.
And this is a great way to get warm and stretch safely, you know, without pulling anything.
Wonderful.
Well, alcohol, I know why I got to give that up. That just makes sense. That's actually a toxin that your liver produces, alcohol dehydrogenase, right?
Yes,
so that we
that's
don't
correct.
Get poisoned by the alcohol. And being half Italian and half Irish, I have a very efficient liver, I guess.
Yes.
So we're going to be...
your lab test verified that. That's great.
And let me talk about water for a minute. I would think during this cleanse, does it matter what kind of water you drink, whether it's Alhambra, a Brita? I mean, do you have an opinion about water? I've heard talk about ionized water, 2 mile deep water.
No, I don't. I don't think that you need to focus too much on that. So this diet in general, the one that's recommended, is what they would refer to. What some people refer to as an alkaline diet.
So I've heard about that, alkaline acid. Okay.
Yeah. So some people, you know, will have will drink alkaline water, other kinds of special water to you know, to aid in that effort to make your body more alkaline. Diet is still the most important way to alkalinize, and this diet is you know, is ideal for that purpose.
Okay, just a couple more dietary things, because food is a big deal in my life. So beef, not really recommended because you're worried about the hormones and stuff like that. But what about Markygaard beef? That's our local coastal beef that's grass-fed in Pescadero.
Can
you eat that?
So on this particular cleanse, it's still recommended that you avoid beef.
So just chicken and turkey.
Limiting yourself to... and it does, to some degree, depend on what your purpose is for the cleanse. You know, so people have different objectives that they're trying to reach.
Well, that's a good point. What are some of the objectives that people have that are different? I mean, mine is sort of an exploration. What other things do people...
Yeah, so a lot of people will use this to determine what foods they might be sensitive to. So this, for them, is just this big elimination diet that followed by a challenge diet where they're going to reintroduce foods one at a time. And I think that we'll be doing that together as well. To determine what foods might be contributing to their symptoms. This is the best way to determine if you have a food sensitivity. So there's tests that we can run that will tell you whether or not you make antibodies. Sometimes those tests will, their results will correlate with, you know, relevant clinical information. Sometimes they don't. And sometimes we'll miss things with those tests. There are lots of ways that you can have a reaction to food that is not mediated by the immune system. This elimination and challenge diet, if you can follow it, that's the challenge, is really, you know, removing those foods for an adequate period of time. And then the harder part is often when people, when the cleanse is supposedly over, you know, then you're like, actually, you're going to slowly reintroduce these foods now. And, you know, not doing one of the eliminated foods every 3 days. So I sometimes, I'll admit, will omit that step or omit that information until we get to the end of the cleanse. Because I know that, you know, for some people, they're doing this cleanse for 14 days, some people 21 days, some people 30 days. And if you tell them that, you know, they're going to be slowly reintroducing foods after that, well, then isn't the cleanse like, you know, twice as long? And for some people, it might be.
Now, one of the things I know that Time Integrative does is you actually do a group cleanse twice a year. Is that right?
Yeah. And it's that. One of the reasons we do that is that it's so much easier if you have support. I don't have the time to, you know, to text my patients every day who are doing these cleanses on their own. With the group cleanses, we get to check in, you know, like through a Facebook group. And then we're doing weekly meetings where we're all talking about what's working, what's not working. We're brainstorming ideas. And there's just like a sense of community and camaraderie that comes out of that that is really motivating and helps you, you know, get to the end of the finish line.
And you usually do at the change of the season, like, you know, in the fall?
Yeah.
Spring,
right? We used to do them with every change of the season. So 4 times a year. Now we're just doing an annual one. I believe the next one we're going to do is in winter. So it's either winter or spring of next year.
When you have less to do.
Exactly, when we all have a little bit less to do. That's the perfect time to do a cleanse too. In terms of preparation, I love the way that you've done it, where you've really taken your time to do the research, looked at the back of all the ingredients you have in your fridge and those in the store that you want to buy. Jumping right into it, your chances of, you know, really hating what you're doing because you're not mentally prepared, but also just not prepared in the right, you know, ingredients in your cupboards.
You know, it definitely, I had to take a couple of evenings where I sat down with a really nice Medi-Clair brochure that really lays out menus and what you can eat and what you can't eat. And I made a grocery list, and that helped, you know, so when I went to New Leaf, I knew what I had to buy. And I picked out a couple of recipes that I was willing to make, and then I sort of filled other things in. But I had to figure it out, you know, in my head, because I didn't want to be hungry all the time, and I didn't want to bust the diet, you know, just because I hadn't been prepared. But I'm really enjoying myself. It's really an exciting exploration to sort of reassess yourself. And Dr. Steven, I thank you very much for helping me with the adventure. And we'll be back again probably in a month, where I'll let you all know how it's going. This is Coastal Butterfly. Fly away.